Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott joining you. We're going to bring Mark Spector in momentarily here. I just want to read this text from Herm, who spent years working in the Western Hockey League. He goes, Bob, can you tell me why in an exhibition game, winning 3-2 with less than 5 minutes to play, Zach Cassian gets in it with Zach MacEwen? Nothing to gain, so much to lose. Still tell the brass you need a policeman to look after the talent. That one comes through us from Herm. Okay, well, I don't know if you need a policeman, and I'm going to ask our next three guests on the show today, Mark Spector, Kevin Weeks, and Mike Babcock, if you need a policeman anymore in the National Hockey League. For the horses and horse racing Alberta, the 7,000 men and women employed in the horse racing industry, live racing Fridays and Saturday nights out at Century Mile, and a reminder that you can watch and wager online at HBIBet.com. Mark Spector joins us right now on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Spec, how you doing?
Oh, pretty well, Bobby. How are you?
Good. Are you in the building, or
I'm not in the building today. Oh. I'm taking the day off.
All right. So, look, let's get to a couple different topics. We are going to talk about Puljujärvi. We're going to follow up on the piece that you wrote in a second. But first, you were in the building last night. You saw what happened to Zach Cassian at the end of the game. Those things do happen once in a while. MacEwen was running around a bit. Canucks might say Cassian was running around a little bit too. What was your thought on, do you agree or disagree with Herm, who is a former minor pro goaltender that played worked about two decades in the WHL? Why would you take that fight in that situation, and do the Oilers need to employ a fourth-line enforcer? Your thoughts, Mark.
Well, first of all, no. There's no room left in the game to waste a position on a fourth-line enforcer. In Dave Tippett's perfect world, Zach Cassian is a third-line winger who actually helps your team play hockey. Right. So let's be straight on that. You're way better off when you have a big, tough team full of guys that can play. And then you've always, if ever, and it's a waning moment, Bob, but when the time comes that someone needs to get, you know, that a fight needs to happen, you've got a few guys on your team, one of them's going to be on the ice. Darnell Nurse is a great example of that. He's a really, really good player, and he's tough as hell. So, no, a fourth-line policeman enforcer, that position has been gone for almost 10 years, Bob. There's no need to have that player anymore. But I don't think that that's what Zach Cassian's supposed to be for the Oilers, right?
No, he's a third-line right wing, an energy guy that bangs, that can move up and down the lineup a bit. Mark, Curtis Gabriel was signed by the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, and I think if the Leafs,
I think they don't need that player because he can barely play. So
I'm telling you right now, if Curtis Gabriel went on waivers, there'd be three or four teams that would be putting claims in on him.
Good for them. Okay. And when the playoffs come, he's watching from the press box, I guarantee you.
Maybe he helps ease the amount of abuse your team takes during the course. I mean, there aren't a lot of guys like that's a guy that's willing that can play a little. He can play a little, right? I know what you're saying. The days of the monolithic Steve McIntyre types are over, right? We're not going to we believe that to be the case. Mark, when you saw that
Wait. I got one thing to say. Why do the Leafs lose in the playoffs? Because they're too easy to play against and they're too soft.
Yeah.
So getting one tough guy who skates around 7 minutes a game all year and doesn't play when it counts is an absolute waste of time and effort. They need to get four different guys that can play, that are bigger and tougher and harder to play against, and that can also play the game. Toronto's the center of the hockey universe. If they haven't figured that out by now, Bob, Dubas is supposed to be the smartest man since Copernicus, and Sheldon Keith's the best coach since Toll Blake, and you're telling me they can't figure out they need team toughness, and they're bringing in Curtis Gabriel? How on earth, right? How on earth will Curtis Gabriel help that team win when it counts? Because he'll be in the press box, Bob.
Mark, it's interesting, right, with the Leafs. I mean, what a coulda, shoulda, right? if Nazem Kadri doesn't take himself out of two series, they might have won one of those ones against Boston. I'm still trying to figure out how the hell they lost to Montreal last year.
Well, figure it out.
Yep.
Montreal was a harder, tougher team and won all the battles, and it wasn't the skill game they hoped it was. The Oilers, to a lesser extent, found the same thing, but the Oilers aren't the Leafs.
In fairness, like, you know, from you could see the progress. Even though Edmonton lost in four straight to Winnipeg, three games went to overtime. Those games were different, right? Like, first of all, Winnipeg was a better team than Chicago. Now, Chicago had the experience and the moxie and the know-how. We came out of a bubble, and we had guys that didn't even want to be here. We know that now. There were a couple guys that were playing in that, in the bubble playing that didn't want to come back to North America, weren't that excited to come back, and it's a challenge. All right, so as for Cassian, not on the ice today, Mark. Could be out a little bit, but they need this guy back, and guess what? He doesn't need to fight all the time, does he?
No, and you know what? Zach Cassian's a big boy and a veteran in the game. If he felt like he wanted to get a fight in the preseason, Dave Tippett's not sending him out there to fight. Let's be very clear on that, right? The coach isn't sending Zach Cassian over the boards to fight. Zach Cassian decided he wanted to have a fight, and if he didn't want to have a fight, he wouldn't have been fighting. So, you know, the outcome, no one likes the outcome, especially Zach Cassian. I get it. But it's not like someone, you know, Ken Holland's on the radio sending a message down to the bench for someone to go out and have a fight. That's not how it works.
Was it Don Perry whispering in Mulvey's? Was it Don Perry and Paul Mulvey? Wasn't that the one where Paul Mulvey refused to fight back in the 80s for the LA Kings? Don Perry was his coach and said, you got to go fight. And he's like, I'm not fighting.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal at the time. So we have smart listeners. We have guys texting me personally and say, the guy you mentioned is this guy. Like, it's interesting just how engaged people are right now. All right, Mark, speaking of engagement level, I put a tweet out today, and it's funny the response, and I know John Shannon said made a comment the other day, nobody could have predicted that we would have seen this. Nobody was 100% sure we would have seen what we're seeing out of Puljujärvi. I agree with that sentiment. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I didn't think the resolution, I was concerned there wouldn't be a made in Edmonton resolution to the situation involving Jesse Puljujärvi. I threw a name out, Henrik Borgstrom, a distressed prospect for the asset for the Florida Panthers organization for Puljujärvi. I thought that Borgstrom could be a third-line center. Mark, we didn't know what the Oilers had with Jesse Puljujärvi last January. You and me were fighting about it five games into the season. I'm like, they should move this guy up. And you're like, they just need to be a little bit more patient. By the end of the year, I think you can see he's a complimentary player by the end of the year, last year. Right now, he's looking like an impact player, Mark. He's looking like more than a complimentary player. He's had a hell of a preseason. Could anybody, Mark, have foreseen what's going on with the progression with Jesse Puljujärvi right now?
I wouldn't say that no one could ever see it, but I think we all, you know, there's so many different levels, Bob. Here's a few things I've learned over my years. You can't always trust a coach. And I'm not taking shots at Todd McClellan, but Todd McClellan had Jesse Puljujärvi during the time when he was not ready to play in the league. The GM brought him over here. He shouldn't have. They put him in the league. They shouldn't have. Todd McClellan was the coach who was charged with running this player on all the time, a player who wasn't ready to play. And the coach got, you know, coach is trying to win today or he gets fired. So Todd McClellan ran out of patience for Jesse Puljujärvi because Jesse Puljujärvi wasn't ready to play. Truth be told, many of his teammates ran out of patience for him too, because this isn't where you learn how to play NHL hockey. So the Oilers failed this guy. I would say to you, he should have, you know, him coming over here not speaking any English, either he's got to learn English or the Oilers have to leave him at home, one of the two. But I don't think a 19-year-old or 18-year-old could come here and not speak the language and succeed. That was born out. So what do we learn, Paul? We learned that guys go at different paces. Yes, he's taken a little while, longer than you thought. But that doesn't mean you never get there. You know, it's the old tortoise and the hare, man. And all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, over the course of a few years, Jesse Puljujärvi's got there. This isn't, oh, the Oilers are giving him a chance now and now he's good. No. That's not what's going on, right? This is, the Oilers are giving him a chance, and now Jesse Puljujarvi is ready as a player and as a man to take advantage of that chance.
Yeah, well, you know, he's earned it. I mean, let's face it.
He's earned it. And he's. But they gave him that chance before to play in the NHL, and he wasn't ready. Right? He couldn't earn it because he wasn't ready. So, look, I was listening to Jack, and he said something smart, which is rare. I'm only kidding. But what he said was, and he's so right, Jesse Puljujärvi is the rare player who got a second chance in the same organization. Most guys like him have to go to the next organization
right.
to get the chance. Yes, he got. But because there was a complete regime change here, he got a second chance with a new GM and with a new head coach. And you know, how many times did Ken Holland say to us, Bob, look, this guy, like, he just got drafted fourth overall a few years ago.
I'm not giving him away.
I'm not giving him away. You know, and I don't know what the offers were. I suspect he never got a first-round pick offered for Jesse.
No.
You know, and had he, we might be ruining the fact that he's doing this somewhere else right now. But you know what? Yes, he got a second chance here with four fresh eyes in Tippett and Holland, and they handled him properly. And now he's earned his spot. He's the best right winger on this team, Bob. He's not. Remember when he came and guys said, play him 30 games with McDavid and let's see what happens. And he'd play 10 games with McDavid and it was a train wreck. Remember that? So now he earned that spot next to McDavid.
It's the way here's the difference between Edmonton in back-to-back years has come in second in their division.
Yeah.
Since December 31st of 2019, they've had the sixth best winning percentage in the NHL. The difference now is you have a completely different Jesse Puljujärvi to factor in from a year and a half ago, and Zach Hyman. And those guys are in your top six, and it's the way they play. They take straight lines to the puck. They're relentless on the forecheck. They have dogged determination. They both backtrack. Hyman can penalty kill. That's a significant. And we're not even factoring in Fogle and the likelihood that Yamamoto offensively will bounce back from last year. They're a way deeper team up front just because Puljujärvi's a different player and because Hyman's
a better team.
Jet.
They're a better team, and you know, as such, they've got a better chance, right? They've got their. They did improve their team. You know, they did improve their team. I'd still like to see. I'm a little concerned that their depth guys that had to get. I think they have better depth guys, but I don't love the fact that their fourth line is, no matter of the five or six guys out there, I don't think it's a very punishing group. You know, I don't think that there's many guys in that group. McLeod is not, he's the opposite of punishing. Devin Shore is a real good player, play for my team every day, but he's not a hard guy to play against. Maybe Colton Sevier a little bit, sure. You know, the rest of the group down there, Bob, I don't see.
Oh, that's fair.
I'd like to see, sorry?
That's fair.
You know, I'd like to see a group that is bigger and harder to play against. I get it. Rome's not built today. But to me, that's something that this team still lacks.
And, Mark, I wonder whether or not how many of those players are left anymore. And I'm serious about that. Like, we're seeing bigger guys now. They're like European big men in basketball, right? Like, those guys are shooters. I mean, the days of...
Yeah, Mikko Rantanen.
Right. Like, I mean, well, I mean, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, what I'm saying here, Mark, is I don't know how many of those 6'2", 6'3", guys that run around and destroy guys with hits, I don't know how much of that's left in hockey anymore. Like,
well, that's fair.
Right?
You know,
so they're,
Corey Perry's kind of that guy from Montreal last year, and he's got obviously incredible skill, but he's also big.
And he's a 2003 NHL game. Draft choice, so he's born in 85. So he's 36
right.
years of age. Right? So,
right.
Mark, you know what? I just as an aside, I'm just going to test you with a little bit of trivia here. Duncan Keith led the Chicago Blackhawks for 16 straight years in time on ice.
That's a great stat. I never knew that.
16 straight years.
That's a great stat.
Can you name the local product who may have attended your golf tournament?
Gee.
Out of Spruce Grove, Alberta, that was the last man to lead the Chicago Blackhawks in time and ice before Duncan Keith.
Oh, Troy Murray?
No, it would be
a defenseman.
No, it's a defenseman. He's
got to be a defenseman.
I believe he's from Spruce Grove. He's 47 years of age now, and he has not played a professional hockey game since 2007, which is
that's like, the last guy before Duncan Keith.
No,
who is it?
No, he did it in 03-04. Keith has led the Hawks since the time that Keith went to the Hawks up from the farm in 05-06. He led the Chicago Blackhawks in time on ice for 16 straight seasons. The last guy to lead.
03-04, is it like Keith Brown or somebody?
Not that far back for Keith.
Not that far back. Keep going.
Nathan Dempsey.
Oh, my goodness.
I would have never, like, I looked it up. I'm like, because I was looking up Ekman Larson, who had led Vancouver in ice time 7 of the last 9 years, but not the last two seasons. And last year was Chychrun, and the year before it was Goligoski. Because in Vancouver, the plan is basically for Ekman Larson to play about as many minutes as Quinn Hughes on the left side. And in Edmonton, Duncan Keith is going to be experiencing a different thing, Mark, at Edmonton than he's experienced ever in his NHL career. Because he's not going to be playing the most of the left shot D. Because Darnell Nurse is going to play more minutes than him. What did you think of Keith in particular last night in the pairing with Keith and CeCe?
Yeah, his second game was twice as good as his first. Look, I don't. You know, social media is great and everything, but making a bunch of proclamations of a guy after a guy plays his first preseason game halfway through the preseason is just foolishness. Like, give a guy some time, you know, and I think we see that. His second outing last night, he had the puck in the stick more. It got off his stick quicker and more accurately. I'll tell you what, this... A defenseman's going to take some penalties. Both those penalties he took last night, I thought the player just fell to the ground. He engaged the player. The guy fell over, and Duncan Keith got a penalty. So stuff happens. I get it. I thought those were two pretty weak penalties. And the one thing I'll say, having watched Duncan Keith with Chicago for all those years, the one skill that he's always had, is he shoots from the point with a purpose. He doesn't have a bomb. But I don't know if anyone keeps this stat, but not many guys get pucks as successfully tipped as Duncan Keith over his career. He's exceptionally good at putting the puck in the place where a forward gets a stick on it. And we saw that last night. Was it Derek Ryan tipped that in?
Yeah.
That to me was a. It reminded me of watching Patrick Sharp or Marian Hossa tip one in Chicago all those years.
Yeah, no, he's a smart player. We'll see where it goes. Lots of criticism directed his way. Frankly, both Ekman Larson and Keith, those acquisitions, less or so in Vancouver, because they dumped $12 million back the other way and with replacement-level players. But a lot of people, Ekman Larson didn't have very good numbers in Arizona, and Keith didn't have very good numbers in Chicago. Well, guess what? If you're on the ice a bunch on bad teams that lack defensive structure and process, it's going to reflect in your numbers. That's all there is to it.
Oh, no question. No question. And listen, let's see what Keith looks like in a completely different atmosphere. And after a fair period of time, let's assess. And if you and I are talking here on December 1st, and he's no good, I'm going to tell you, Bob, this guy can't play anymore. I'm here to tell you. Like, let's assess it. But there seems to be this need to get a jump, right? Get a jump on formulating opinion on things. I'm not here to tell you he's great, and I'm not here to tell you he can't play. I'm here to say I sense he's going to have a better opportunity here than he had in Chicago to put up good numbers. And now let's sit back and watch. It's going to take more than 5 games, Bob, to formulate an opinion. That's just the way it works.
Mark, have a good Thanksgiving weekend. Thanks a lot for joining us here on Oilers Now.
All right, Bobby, thanks for having me.
That's Mark Spector, Sportsnet spec for the horses and horse racing Alberta. Live racing Fridays and Saturday nights at Century Mile, 6:15 post time. You can watch and wager online as well at hbibet.com. Reminder, guests on the show receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Coming up, and we've had to maneuver some gentlemen around, Kevin Weeks is now with ESPN, and they're doing a bunch of their interviews with some of the Eastern Conference coaches and managers today. But Kevin is going to join us for a quick hitter at about 1:05. Mike Babcock has graciously allowed us to move him to 1:35. But when we come back on Oilers Now, we'll get to the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. This is Oilers Now. It is currently 12:52 at Edmonton.
Hi, Hi, this is Mike Smith from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Thanks, Mike. It's 12:54 at Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. We're going to hear from Brendan momentarily. The Oilers Now Injury Report is brought to you daily by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. They are the heavy hitters of injury law. They're the best. When accidents happen, go see jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, all-star safety for the Edmonton Football Club, now known as the Edmonton Elks, and won a Grey Cup back in 1993. Here's Brendan Escott with our James H. Brown injury update.
Well, Bob, it sounds like Kyler Yamamoto is out on the ice there.
He's out on the ice.
Okay, perfect. So I don't know what that means, but I guess we'll find out when they speak afterwards as to his status moving forward. But they did already rule him out of tomorrow. Zach Cassian, you've got to figure he's day-to-day for the time being with that head injury. Former Oiler Caleb Jones is going to miss the next 6 weeks with a left wrist strain in Chicago as well.
Tough break there. We got a bunch of texts. There we go. We should get to that right now on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. We got about 2 minutes to bang off some texts right now. We're going to do so. Bob, the Edmonton Oilers should investigate re-signing Alex Chiasson before Vancouver does. He's much better defensively than Chiasson and almost as tough, and with all the injuries on the right wing, he would be a great signing. Bob, why does it seem like you're ignoring Brendan Perlini's amazing preseason from Nils? Nils. Now, there was a hockey player, by the way, by the name of Nils. Nils Anton. Played for the Kamloops Blazers and the UBC Thunderbirds for Milan Drag Civic back in the day. Perlini's had a good preseason. There's no question. 5 goals, 6 points. Has not been on the ice for an even strength goal against. He's basically, he already had a contract. He's on a two-way deal, $750 and $250. It's been pretty impressive, to say the least. This text comes from Andy, the carpet guy. He says, Bob and Brendan, I agree with Herm. The Oilers lack toughness for sure. They also lack a natural enforcer who's got some fighting skills. It seems like Peter Chiarelli did some goods for the Oilers after all. JD780 says, Bob, the Oilers should sign Danbury Thrashers legend Brad Wingfield. I don't see that happening. Nils has texted the show to say, Bob, another Nils Höglander at the Canucks as well. Yes, I think we expect him, Horvat, and Pearson together tomorrow night when Edmonton takes on Vancouver in the return engagement. Keep texting us at 780-496-0063. Randy and Brooks says, Bob, make the goalies the designated fighters for the team. Lots of equipment protection. Fights would be epic. Smith would be the league champ, and the fans would be entertained as well. Is there anything more? I mean, come on. People love it when the goalies fight. There's no question about it. They love it. Absolutely love goalies fights. Who doesn't like a good goalie, as long as it's fair and close? Bob, I heard you were labeled a Paul Mulvey type, young lookalike for the Strathcona Warriors circa early 1980s. No stats kept on that. While Paul Mulvey was about 6'4" and was a better junior player than I even remotely had a chance to be. Because I was not good enough to play the WHL, 12-team WHL. Now I'm going to have to look up Paul Mulvey's numbers. We'll head off to a global news weather traffic update at 12:58 with Eileen Bell. A quick hitter with Kevin Weeks, Mike Babcock also still to come on today's show.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.